You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. As always, I'm one of the lovely hosts of the show, Tony East, covering the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. On the other line with me, as always, my lovely co-host, who I said lovely twice, Adam Friedman. Adam, we have not seen the Super Bowl yet. It is 3:50 on Sunday. Who you got tonight?
Oh, I was going to ask you the same question because no matter what I say, I look like a genius or an idiot. I'm going to go, let's see, Chiefs win by a touchdown.
I like the Chiefs as well. I like Pat Mahomes.
Although the 49ers are going to win and we're both going to be idiots.
I do want to root for IU man Tevin Coleman here, even though I don't think he's playing. I don't actually know. I haven't kept up with any Super Bowls.
Yeah, he is playing, but he did separate his shoulder like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, he's going to play.
We're, of course, a basketball show, and we are going to talk about basketball. And the Pacers did not play particularly good basketball on Saturday. And I actually want to tell a little story here first before we get going on this, Adam. So I tweeted right after the game, that is a brutal loss. Because losing to the Knicks is bad. They're not very good, especially at home. Especially with having your first full clean bill of health the whole season and only scoring 85 points. All those things made me think that was really bad. But a lot of people – usually Twitter is more like – I don't know what the right word is – freaking out or overreacting than me after losses, which, duh. But this time, everybody was more level-headed and knocking me down a peg with, like, why is this so bad? They're reintegrating this whole rotation. Like, and all the guys who are with the team every day, you know, Mark Monty, Pep Will on it, calling it like a hangover game. And, like, they're kind of right. You know, maybe it it's bad, but it's not, like, that big of a deal. And I've never been checked like that in a way that made me go, yeah, maybe I am overreacting to this.
Yeah, except they scored 11 points in one quarter and 14.
They were so good after the first quarter, too.
Until the fourth. They were miserable.
Yeah, they were pretty bad in the fourth. 85 is just so bad.
I mean, you can't overreact to one win or one loss.
I know. I get that.
When it comes to, like, if they're a half a game out or, let's say, a game out of a playoff spot, you're going to be like, why do you lose to the Knicks?
They'll lose to the Knicks, yeah.
At home on a day where you have 3 days off.
Right. All their bad losses before this, you know, Charlotte – Atlanta, Cleveland, like, we're on the road. Okay, whatever, you tripped up on the road. This one, I was just, ugh. You know, but I get it. And a lot of the I get it for me is they missed a ton of easy shots, which that won't happen often. They got terrible shooting from pretty much every guard on the team. But like you said when you were texting with me, is like they're just kind of figuring out had to play together still, and they have this funky rotation, and like guys have to cut at slightly different times, or like the pass comes a little different than with this guy than this other guy, and like all this little stuff that you have to work through to figure out how to shoot the ball off of this or that thing, and it's gonna cause these kind of hiccups.
Yeah, and actually I think a big problem this week has been the foul trouble of Sabonis, and I think that's been the biggest thing I've noticed. And I know he's an all-star. I know he's been a player, but I mean, you know, even scored 25 points. But when he's in foul trouble, it's the opportunity cost, right? Because that means Goga has to play, and Goga can be fine for 3 minutes, whatever. But most of the time, Goga's pretty bad, and or they have to go smaller with Jakar, and Marcus Morris kind of abused Jakar. I felt like when he played 10 minutes, and you go to the Bulls game when they had played Goga played maybe of his 15, played 4 good minutes. I mean, it's just. Sabonis has got to set a foul trouble, but and I don't know why it's been.
Him and Turner were both really good when they were out there. They just weren't out there.
Exactly. It's somebody that's gotten worse lately. I mean, I should probably pull up Sabonis' fouls over the past like 20
I'll get
games.
Him.
Like,
I'll get his game log up.
But it feels like for a while he had been better about it. Like, I know the start of the year he was miserable. I mean, he was miserable start of the year. Yeah. And he is averaging the most fouls per game in his career at 3.4, but it seemed like late.
More minutes. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but like lately it's gotten a lot worse. I mean, I guess I don't really look at it. He's basically in his last like 9-10 games, he has 4 or 5 fouls every game. So it feels like.
Yeah, yes, you are right.
I mean, it might just be timing them, right? You know, he might end up with 5 fouls, but they might end up 2 in the last 2 minutes, which is, you know, a lot different than getting 3 fouls in the first 5 minutes kind of thing.
Yeah, in their last 10 games, he's had more than 2 fouls in 7 of them, which is crazy.
Yeah,
and I think you're right to point out those Jakar Goga minutes because they actually went okay, but like the way the game flow was going, the Pacers actually amazingly shot better than the Knicks and turned the ball over less, but they just got dismantled on the boards. Everybody, like Turner and Sabonis, both had like 6 and 8. That's not typical.
They got beat by 23 rebounds.
23 rebounds. So Jakar had one and Goga had zero. They combined for one in 9 minutes. That's, you know, like either of those guys are great on the boards and Randall was killing them on the glass. It's like those minutes mattered, even if, you know, Randall getting rebounds for momentum or whatever. Like it just mattered. They needed a little bit better in those minutes and they could have had it with Sabonis. But yeah, his fouls have been a little more concerning recently. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always been the biggest problem with the Sabonis-Turner pairing. It's not necessarily who plays what. It's do you get Sabonis in a spot where he fouls too much and then he gets off the court almost in a way, right? Because when he's on the court, he's their most important player in every offensive play, doing everything that they need him to do, rebounding, all the kind of things that you need from just like he might not be the final scorer on this stuff, but he's doing everything else on offense to help everybody else get points. And so when he's not able to be on the court because of foul trouble, it screws all of them up. Because he can play with Turner just fine on offensive end. It works fine, but it's the defensive end where he's forced to guard, you know, a team like the Knicks who are not fairly very good, but are playing basically four power forwards at times, it feels like, with Taj Gibson, Randall.
Slamming dudes into him.
Morris. I mean, and so like it's like he has to kind of just like be on these guys who are not necessarily faster or whatever, but are a little more versatile and kind of forcing in bad spots. And this might just be a thing that happened with these two teams who both the Knicks and Bulls play this kind of, especially compared to a lot of the better teams in the East play is weird, really small style in a different way. I mean, you know, where they're not even playing center sometimes because of injuries with the Bulls, especially with like Markkanen.
Outside of the 19 minutes of Mitchell Robinson, they have no center most of the time.
Yeah, and I mean, the Bulls have – so Markkanen's been out. He was their center, and they're playing like what? Thad and Luke Kornet is some combination of that. I mean, so it might, again, just be these two teams, but it is something that's starting to become concerning because, to me – that's screwing with everything else too, right? It has an effect where it screws with the rotation. Then you have, you know, instead of having Sabonis in Oladipo minutes, you get Goga in Oladipo minutes, which is not as good and not as effective. You know, I think a couple times it felt like Oladipo was hitting Goga on a pass, Goga could not finish, where in that instance most times Sabonis does. And it's this spiraling downhill effect of like, which has made this team, I think, really look pretty miserable for what? When it's a six of the last eight quarters, give or take, maybe four of the last eight. I mean, they've looked pretty bad for a lot.
Yeah, the Bulls game was just funky. Like the Bulls just hung around the whole time. Like the most they lost a quarter by was 4 points. Like they never got killed in any big run, extended run for that Bulls game besides the middle of the third quarter. It's just like weird up.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. Anytime they score like less than like 25 points in a quarter, I think it's a bad quarter. It's fair.
I think under 20 would be my mark for bad.
I mean, anything under 20 is really bad, but like 25 is like the area.
11 is unacceptable, right? That's your loss right there. That's it.
Well, 14 unacceptable too at the same time.
Yeah, they only gave up 20. They only gave up 20 the fourth against the Bulls. Like if you score 18 in the first, that game is tied. 18 is still a terrible quarter.
You know? But yeah.
It was just excruciating. And what made it more painful for me, and I'm going to sum it up with one shot that's very memorable because it was at the end of the game, is like they were down three and they had down five, and Brogdon had this wide open corner.
Oh, yeah, in the corner.
And I have no idea how it didn't go in. And like,
no, I mean, it was just.
They had so many shots like that where, like, even Brogdon himself would, like, go around the Sabonis screen and do that mid range thing he always does where he tries to bank it and it would just, like, somehow fall off the front. Or Vic had a few of those. And, like, every turn, it seemed like they just barely missed this or that shot. And it's just so subtle and weird. And some of that's like just learning to play with new players. It's just slightly different and they just couldn't make them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't really know how to put it, but it was just like painful to watch Marcus Morris just beat him. Right? I mean, that's the most painful part, is to watch Morris basically what, take the same shot, maybe in a different spot of the floor over and over again, but the same kind of fade back, we'll call it 15 footer. And
the moment I knew they lost is when he hit that one over Justin Holiday, where Holiday was all over him the whole time. And he just drilled it. I mean, it was a perfect shot.
And it looked painful for the Pacers to score in the offensive end. Like literally, they were trying to pull their teeth out to score points. Right. Yeah, I mean, it was just like nothing would go in anywhere. Nothing was falling. I mean, there was a moment there in the fourth quarter, like, oh, they finally got it going. They're going to win this game. And then they just immediately within
they were next, winning. They got a lead.
Play, poof, they stopped being able to score. When you look at the box score of that game too, you see Sabonis 25 points. Turner had 12 because he had a bunch of big threes to get him back in the game pretty much. Like his offense single-handedly carried them, I think really in that third quarter. Right, then he had a bunch of threes back-to-back at one point. But then it's a bunch of single-digit just garbage stat lines, right? I mean, it's 5 at 8, 2, 4, 7, 5, 8, 9. I mean, I know Warren got hurt, so it's different, but it's just like, it was painful to watch.
And they still won the quarters 2 through 4 by 6 points. Just can't start with 11. That'll do it.
Yeah, that will do it. Should we talk about TJ Warren real quick for a second?
We should talk about TJ Warren. That's another, like, he only played 23 minutes and he His throwback style is really effective against teams that are trying to prevent threes for comebacks in the fourth quarter. Just to only get 5 points from him was part of the reason they could not complete the comeback. But this is also problematic going forward, right? He's going to miss his first game of the season Monday against the Mavs with this concussion. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you were at the game. I watched it on TV. I mean, it looked pretty serious. Like, he hit his head pretty hard on the ground.
He hit his head and then got kicked in the head. Like, right yeah, after. Yes. Yeah, that yes. was tough. I did not like that for him. And he got hit earlier on that when that when Randall bumped Sabonis and just like collateral damage, like four guys got hit. That was a wild play.
I mean, am I right to say I'd be surprised if he plays this week, to be honest.
The whole week. Interesting. The concussion protocol is so variable that you never really know. Like Brogdon missed only two games, but
But Brogdon looked less of, I mean, and it's very hard to tell, but like Brogdon got into like a indirect hit, and it really more took it on like on the skull than just like his back of his head, where it's, you know, more painful.
Yeah, I just don't know about concussions.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard. It felt like Brogdon was more an unexpected concussion when immediately Warren got hit. I'm like, oh, he's concussed. That's like,
yeah, it was like when he couldn't get up. Yeah,
like Brogdon was like, oh, Turner just clocked him in the side with his forearm crap. Now he's bleeding everywhere. I mean, it was a little bit different.
Between Oladipo coming back and these Sabonis foul situations, they're already in the midst of weird rotation, which I'm curious how TJ Warren, who has not missed a game yet. And what's even more interesting is that the wing position between him, McDermott, and Holiday are all the guys who haven't missed a game. Like, we have no idea what the wrinkle to that might look like.
Yeah, I have like a crazy suggestion on the lineup, but should we take a break first before I give it to you?
I love that idea. Adam, let's hear your crazy suggestion.
Well, it's not crazy, but we talked before the show and you didn't mention the guy's name. I think it makes sense to just start Oladipo right away.
Oh, wow.
Right? So here, let me do this first. So first of all, what it does is it basically puts you back into normal rotation, right? You maybe have to play a McConnell or an Aaron Holiday more minutes to make it kind of work, but it gets you in that normal kind of the Sabonis with the four on the bench, and you just, you know, you move Lamb playing a little bit of a small forward. Maybe it's a little bit efficient, but it can work. I think you can make it work. Then you put Brogdon and Oladipo, and then you've got kind of Oladipo playing minutes with Sabonis. You know for sure the first 6 minutes of a first quarter, so you don't score 11 points in a first quarter with Sabonis. Hits two fouls immediately in that quarter kind of thing. And, like, I just think it kind of settles it. I thought Oladipo coming off the bench made sense at first, but I think with the way the rotation feels so out of whack and off and whatever, and it might not just be him. It just feels like, just put him in the starting lineup and just play him less minutes. You know, play him the last, you know, let him sit for the entire, you know, first six and the third to the six and the fourth, whatever. Like, but to get the minutes right, but just they need to do something to make it work a little better, I feel like.
I like it to get the old bench back.
Yeah, I mean, especially, I think that's the key. Because
then you've got, you got your McConnell, Aaron, and the two wings bench back.
Well, and it's a huge week. I mean, we're going to do this later, but, like, they play Toronto twice, who has been just on fire of late. They're losing right now as we record this podcast, but I guess we'll find out if they win.
Who is?
The Bulls. Toronto's losing to the
Toronto
Bulls.
Toronto is losing right now. Yeah, they are missing.
But like, they need to beat Toronto ideally both times to kind of pull themselves within a shot of getting this 2-seed or 3-seed ever. I mean, right now they look like they're going to probably be stuck at a 5-6 spot. But so it's a really big week, and I think the bench has been their thing that has carried them in the past, and it's maybe time to go back to that kind of bench five that we.
I don't know. I wouldn't bank on going back to it, but I would use it if I could use it. That's a good idea with the Vic start. See, I think what they're going to do. This is purely a guess. I think they're going to go with Justin Holiday because he plays the most minutes of the wings off the bench, and he can just do the most stuff. Not that he can do what Warren does, but I think that would allow them to keep a similar versatility. But I don't know. I just don't know. Like. I've always liked the idea of McDermott with the starters, but that's just not how they have played it.
I mean, I do feel like Lamb can do what Warren can do. I mean, it's not as well, but he's kind of a, I don't know. I mean, he's kind of 85% of what Warren.
Jeremy Lamb discount TJ Warren? Are they on the same team?
I mean, like, slight discount, not like
no,
a
big discount. I think
it's like Warren is $11 million in salary and Lamb is 10.5. That's about the discount you get.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Warren's been a lot better, but yeah.
yeah, but you know what I mean? It's like 80% of what you get, which is enough. Think about the upgrade you're probably getting Oladipo. I know Oladipo has kind of struggled to start so far, and I think that's just giving him
Thank you
time,
for that free segue.
But it's like I think you got to get him some minutes with Sabonis and Turner. Just some guys he has familiarity with. More minutes, but good players, right? I'm sick of Oladipo playing a bunch of crappy guys. I mean, not that the bench is crappy, but like, I'm sick of him playing with Goga at times, really, maybe is what I'm most sick of. And, you know, playing with the bench unit that he doesn't really fit with yet because he shouldn't, because they have their own thing. And like, he just, get in with the guys he played with last year. Run a ton of these, you know, handoff screen with Sabonis and let him kick out to Turner in the corner and Brogdon and let him run a two-man game or whatever. And just get him into things that, like, make sense instead of just, like, choppy where then he comes in the fourth quarter and it's just, like, his turn, my turn kind of thing.
So that's part of the toughness with Oladipo so far to me is he's never played with Warren. He's never played with Lamb. He's never played with Brogdon. He's never played with Justin Holiday. He's never played with McConnell. He's never played with Goga, like, never played with Jakar. A lot of these guys he's getting minutes with, he is learning their tendencies outside of practice, which is a thing, and it's important. But I want to talk about Vic if you want to talk about Vic some more. I
mean, yeah, he had an okay week, I think. Very okay.
Yeah, shots not falling. Understood. Benefit of the doubt. Russ knocking off. Here's what I'll say about the Knicks game. 2 for 14 is bad, but I was very happy that he got 10 two-pointers up. Like, he had burst. He was getting into the paint and getting shots that I'm more used to seeing from him than just, like, yanking up a bunch of pull-up threes.
Yeah, he looks really rusty going to the rim. I mean, just
absolutely.
He used to be
afraid of contact. Totally understood.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to look at that. And teams are actually playing him differently. I feel like they're double teaming him a lot too. You see that?
Yeah, he is, like, flying around guys. Like, he looks fast going into the paint, which is great. You know,
and what he's also got to figure out too is he has the ability now, if he draws in two guys, he's going to have to finish through kind of because he's got so many good shooters around him. Can he jump off a pass and to one guy or another guy? That's part of it. But it seems like he is at least getting to where he was before the injury. Right? He's got the speed there. He looks maybe a little bit tired at times, but he's really overall looks like the same kind of like athlete, I guess.
Yeah, he's getting to the spots he wants. He's fast. He's just got to, A, get the finishing down, and B, not settle for shots, right? Figure out where the best spot to shoot is with these teammates, not necessarily just, like, again, he didn't do this in the second game, but not just yank 7 pull-up threes in one game. And I think he can do that, right? Like, coming around Sabonis and Turner screens, like, he got a lot of good shots out of him. He just missed them, and that's bad. But I liked the shot. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, Victor, don't take that one. So, I was pleasantly surprised by that. And I think that's what I said after the Bulls game is I'm looking forward to seeing how he does when he is ready to balance the throttle for twos and threes instead of just full pin on threes. And he did that already.
Yeah, and maybe it's me, but it does feel like he's a little bit kind of playing like, oh, it's get the ball to Depot, let him figure out.
Yeah, he should not take 14 shots.
Well, no, it should be more in a flow, it feels like. I feel like they have a better off the rim. Like, before, he did play a lot of iso ball because they need to do, but a lot of times now it's kind of like there should be a lot more movement, I guess, with the ball.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's
found in the corner after the ball moves around. Like, I mean, he should be brought in driving, and Oladipo kind of just waiting to get the ball in a pass, whatever. I mean, it's just – it should be a little more flow of shots than just like what he's
doing. He leads the team right now in shots per 36 minutes. I know he's only played 2 games, so whatever. But
like, he played 22 minutes to 14 shots.
Yeah, that's too many. For a rusty guy, that's probably too many, right? Like, eventually he should shoot that much. Maybe not. Like, this is the criticism we had with Aaron early in the year. Like, yes, Aaron, eventually you'll be good enough to shoot this much. Not yet.
Yeah, and I honestly think he'll shake off.
I agree. I agree. Mean, he should be shooting off the rust. It's just like you're 2 for 10. Don't shoot 4 more. I don't know.
Yeah, and he, you know, I don't know how to put it, but I mean, I'm not the concern. I think I could have expected.
No, I'm not concerned.
Right? No, this was expected when he came out of.
None concern.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It'd be nice to, you know, eventually to see him ramp up a level. I don't know.
I would love a 3 for 7 Oladipo game.
Well, like, I think it'd be nice. Like, I mean, we kind of got it in the fourth quarter, I guess, against the Bulls. But like a little run where he hits like 4 or 5 shots in a row. You know, just like something that just reminds you. Oh, yeah,
that's right. The team with him out there. You mean?
Well, no. I mean, he had a couple shots in a row, or he had a couple. Maybe he had a play where he hit a bucket, got fouled, made it. Mostly got.
Yes, he did do that.
But I guess, I guess you haven't seen it. I like to see
he has been getting to the line, like drawing fouls.
I would like to see him hit 3 shots in a row. It'd be like a nice little move. It's like one
I'd like
of those
to see him hit 2 shots in a row. Maybe hit more than one in a row.
I think
now we're just being picky.
I think what I'm thinking of against the Bulls is he had a couple moments where he had a bucket and then a couple assists, and that looked kind of nice. Like, back to back.
His passing's been good. So. I've enjoyed him looking to defer to teammates and hit these pocket passes and going on screens and stuff. Oh, it's just fun to be able to talk about Victor Oladipo playing basketball, isn't it?
Yeah, I just can't wait to see him play 30 minutes. There's no restriction.
I know. Well, and this is back. I hate to harp on the rotation so much, but I'm looking forward to when he's playing with the starters and not the bench. Like, it's just weird at the end of the quarters. Like, a bunch of guys who like are like him and McConnell probably should not play together.
No, they just don't work. They just don't.
Yeah. Like McConnell in the dunker spot or like relegated to well, not floor spacing necessarily, but just being away from the play is kind of weird. And then McConnell does really good at the start of the next quarter when it's just him. And so I'm looking forward to when Vic is with the guys, he will fit so much better.
The problem with both of them is they both need the ball in their hands to be successful most of the time. And
yeah,
like if McConnell has the ball in his hands, McConnell's useless. Oliva has some use when he has the ball in his hands because of his shooting and because of just the player he is. But like McConnell without the ball in his hands is literally useless half the time, right? I mean, yes. The only reason he
not half the time, most of the time,
right? Because you want him to like most time.
You want
the
him
way
to be
works,
scurrying into the lane with the ball and making people run around.
Yeah, or initiating a Sabonis pick roll and then right. Or McDermott's the other action, right? Right? Like something like that. Like
I agree.
Together, they just don't together. Like it just doesn't work, and that's why I think it might be advantageous to start Oladipo, right? Because that allows you to keep your bench the same and not have those weird McConnell people lines. Because I do think Oladipo and Brogdon worked well together. I mean, you know, Brogdon missed the corner shot in this game, but part of that was caused by Oladipo and Sabonis running something at the top and Brogdon just shooting at the corner being wide open. I mean, that's the ideal shot. This team is Brogdon open in the corner, so.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how he gets out of this funk and plays with the right guys. And Maybe like you said, this foreign concussion could be the blessing in disguise to get him with the group that.
Well, the problem is that, you know, Warren is the guy that beats the Knicks, right? Like when you play the Knicks, Warren's the guy that fourth quarter who scores 20 or 15 points and just like is like I'm the best offensive player out here and has a bunch of random buckets and just destroys the Knicks team who's putting like Julius Randle on him, right? That's why they probably lost this game realistically.
So right? I like your idea of starting Vic. I don't think they're going to do it because they're going to be very rigid to the plan they set before these games.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to change the plan when you lose the Knicks.
There's so many people involved in the planning, in this plans process that I just...
But you can make the minutes work. It's not like you can't play them six to start the...
Oh, yeah. I think that you can get to 24.
Six to start the third, six to end the fourth. Like, I don't know. I mean, you can make that work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You want to talk about these games coming up this week that Warren might not play in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I was really excited to start this week off with seeing some Luka Mania after he got ejected last year and we barely got to see him.
That's right, I forgot about that.
And he will not be playing. He's out for at least six games, long enough that he might miss All-Star and Devin Booker might get his due. Anyway, the Luka-less Mavs come to town Monday. Porzingis missed their second game of a back-to-back against the Hawks, but I'm guessing he will be back just because it's not a back-to-back for them coming up. But the Mavs, without Luka, are a totally different team.
Yeah, they're playing right now. Or no, they played yesterday. They beat the Hawks today without both of them. Sorry.
The Hawks loss even worse for the Pacers. Trae Young, I think, got hurt and didn't play, though, either.
I thought Trae did play.
He might have got hurt in that game.
Yeah, he got hurt. He played 26 minutes.
It's certainly possible he got hurt in that game. So Doncic missed four games earlier in the year, and the Mavs went 2-2, and they beat the Bucks and the Sixers for their two wins there. And then they lost to the Rockets and beat the Hawks without him. So they're 3-3 without him with two pretty damn impressive wins, honestly. That win over Philly, 19 points without Luka is crazy.
Yeah.
Porzingis plays pretty well in those games. So they're not bad. They're just worse and a little different. A lot.
Yeah, when they played Houston on Friday without Luka, their lineup was J.J. Brea, Hardaway, Finney-Smith, Porzingis, and Brokoff.
Ryan Brokoff, yes.
Brokoff. I'm not sure I pronounced the name right.
So they run through Porzingis a lot more.
Yeah, he had 35 points that game.
Right. So he was really rusty to start the year, so his shooting percentages are kind of not indicative of what he's doing, right? He's shooting better.
Yes, he's been really good as of late when he got out there. He got hurt for a little while, came back. He's been pretty good the last three or four games.
So,
he's been back.
So he's obviously good, and the Pacers haven't played against him. Man, probably since 2017 maybe he's been out so long. So
that sounds right, yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they go against him because they haven't really seen a guy like him who can shoot from everywhere, put the ball on the floor, set like 7-3. He's a very good player.
Well, right. Is he playing the four right now for them?
Yeah. He plays 5-4. It depends who he's
right. Well, so, I mean, that might be the problem for Sabonis if you guard him.
Right. Yeah. With Dwight Powell out, he plays a little bit more five, but they put him next to Maxi Kleber, the new German legend for this Mavs team a lot. So sometimes they play Boban. I think he's in their rotation now. I'm guessing. I haven't caught either two games that look, but I'm guessing they put Boban in. More often.
Well, lucky for you, I have the last game they played against the Rockets up.
Did Boban play?
No, Boban did not play. So DeLon Wright got 25 on the bench. Curry got 25. Brunson got 20. Kleber 13. And Cauley Stein played some minutes.
Oh, they did just get Cauley Stein. So that's why Boban doesn't play anymore. That's
and true. Then I believe now neither Luka or Porzingis played against the Hawks, but Cauley Stein actually started that game with, and so did Kleber actually.
Okay.
Each playing 25 and 30. So
the Mavs have the star power, obviously, with Luka and Porzingis, but they're like a lot of teams we've talked about. Not a lot, but they're like a few teams we've talked about this year that have an interesting matchup with the Pacers in that they have a good bench with a lot of good, capable players. And some of that's that they're talented, and some of that is that, as we know, Rick Carlisle is just amazing at getting the most out of these bench guys. But it's going to be way harder for the bench to win those minutes against a pretty solid Mavs bench.
Yeah, I think – so I think the Pacers honestly got lucky. I mean, not having Luka is kind of a really huge
break.
Huge break. I think without Luka, they're probably better than this team. With Luka, they're not. Just let's be real.
Maybe the Vic returning team, even without Luka, might be a little worse. But they have a shot now at least.
Yes. But, I mean, I guess – they lost to the Knicks. We shouldn't be surprised by anyone lost, but I'd be surprised if they lose this game. I think we're going to butcher real fast. Obviously, it's Porzingis, right? It's nobody else.
Tim Hardaway gets a shout from me because Tim Hardaway has learned to shoot threes. A lot of credit to him because he's pretty one-dimensional as one of those as an off the dribble, like we see with Lamb this year, for example. Like Jeremy Lamb is good. Jeremy Lamb is not like a we can throw you the ball anywhere on the court kind of guy, whereas TJ Warren is because he can make threes. Tim Hardaway was Jeremy Lamb in the past and now can hit threes and is now more TJ Warren. So he deserves a shout for being pretty versatile and a good scorer, but we'll see. I think Porzingis is the guy you think at, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Seth Curry's been pretty good on the bench, too. He's in a good kind of bench butcher, I guess.
We wanted him on this Pacers team for a minute.
Yeah, right. It would have been him or McConnell. That was the difference. We'd hope.
Yeah, he can shoot. Aaron Holiday's pushing down the Seth Curry skill set, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Aaron Holiday becomes Seth Curry, that's a really good hit at a 22nd overall pick.
He's close. Just got to get a little more consistency to catch up to him. But yeah, yes. The thing is, like, they don't have any just bad player, right? Like, whoever's on the court for the Mavs is good and can help.
And they're well coached. They're very well coached.
Very well coached. So that makes it hard. Their butcher could literally be anybody. It's most likely going to be Porzingis, though. See how they can get him going. On the X factor side, of course, you can't pick bench. But without Luka, I think you have a good opportunity for guards to not try on defense. That's not what I'm trying to say, but they can put a little more of the pedal to the metal on offense and relax on that end of the floor. Who did they start against the Rockets at point guard, Adam? Was it DeLon Wright? You said.
I believe so. I have it up on. I have it on one of my tabs. They started.
Or Brunson, maybe?
No, they started J.J. Barea.
J.J. Barea. Awesome. Okay, so yes, Brogdon will be my butcher in this game. J.J. Barea is quick and shifty and could get by Brogdon. That's been one of his kryptonites, but he's got a huge size advantage, and no Luka means he can put all of his energy into offense. So Malcolm Brogdon, butchers up the Mavs.
Okay. I think – because it's a revenge game, I'm going to go Doug McDermott.
Oh, hey, okay, nice.
Just, I mean, I know you go into the story, but like, I think it could be a Doug McDermott 6-7-3 type of game.
They need that. That was huge on the road trip they just did.
And it's a revenge game for him. We should remember that. That's against the Bulls on, right? Didn't he play for the Bulls?
Yeah, he did. He played for a bunch of teams. Yes, that would be huge just to get him going a little more because he's had a few shots not come his way. Now that the second unit's changed a little bit. Man, you know, this is so bizarre. They just kind of stunk against the Bulls and really stunk against the Knicks. But they play the level of their competition a lot this year, and I just have the feeling that no Luka, they're going to win. I don't
Same. Know. I think they're going to bounce back.
That's such a stupid reason. It's just like, that's how I feel. But that's how I feel. I think they have a chance to win. Like, Porzingis is clearly awesome, but they don't have any matchups to make me go like, oh, they're going to get so many easy points from this, you know, and that's why I think the Pacers have a really good shot.
Well, Porzingis could score 40 points, they could still win the game.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think they win too. I think there's a bounce-back game.
Look at us on the same train. We both predicted to win before the season too. So Look at this. Two straight after this Mavs team against the Raptors. Remember how I was joking, I thought this was funny, that when they played the Timberwolves, and then the Timberwolves traded a player, and so they played a different Timberwolves team. the next time. They play the Raptors on Wednesday. Then the trade deadline is Thursday. And then they play the Raptors again Friday. What are the odds it happens again? It's not crazy. The Raptors might shake things up. They have a lot of good expiring contracts. Although they are the two seeds, so I think it's unlikely.
Yeah, they've won 10 in a row going for 11 today as we talk.
Yeah, they are nuts good. I don't think they make a trade. I'm just saying it's on the table as a possibility for them.
But. Yeah, I don't think so. I think the Raptors probably stay pat at least.
Yeah, they're really good. And that is why these two games are going to be extremely hard, especially with the – I know the next one's on a back-to-back, but – it's the first game of the back-to-back, but still, back-to-back traveling in between. It's going to be they're a tough team to beat. They got lucky that Pascal was out the first time.
Yeah, they did. And basically, this team has gotten – I mean, they lost Norman Powell the other day, so that's a loss for them. But they're
huge for them.
The healthiest they've probably been in a long time, right? I mean, I think
– well, the Marc Gasol just missed a game for them. That's big. If Marc Gasol's out still by Wednesday, that would help a ton for Sabonis because he is – a beast on defense in the middle. I know he's still a little slow, but I mean, if you watch the Raptors, you got to tune in for the Raptors, man. They're so fun. Marc Gasol can defend, man. Like, they traded for him to stop Joel Embiid. That's how good he can be on defense, and he's been good for them again this year. So him being out would be huge for the Pacers.
I guess to me, right, their starting five isn't – I guess Powell didn't start, right, or did he start over?
No, Norm started – I mean, they've been really banged up this year. They've had
no, but like when they're all healthy, was he starting?
No, he does not start when they're
right,
all
so their starting five is back for – right, yeah. Gasol didn't start either.
Well, Gasol starts when they're healthy.
Oh, he does? Okay, I thought he bought
it. Usually they go Lowry, Van Vliet, OG, Siakam, Gasol. But they've had so many injuries that they've had to
pick up quite a bit. But Ibaka starting over him is not – I mean, it's different, but it's not
Ibaka. No, Ibaka's good. Ibaka's averaging over 15 a game again. Like, he's looking more like OKC Ibaka this year.
Ooh, maybe Ibaka actually isn't 45 years old.
I always thought he was older than his age, and now he's 30 and still really good. So, or 30, I'll put in air quotes, but –
yeah, 30 maybe.
We've been dodging it. I mean, they have two all-stars, so we're not dodging anything. They're a really good team. But Pascal's just otherworldly good this year. You know, that the question with him was, you know, he was surrounded by Kawhi and Kyle Lowry. So that not that he wasn't still a focus of defenses. He's a very good player. But, like, a lot of teams didn't view him, obviously, at the level of Kawhi. He got a little bit easier matchups. Now he is the featured guy. His usage rate is stupidly high, 29.2%. That's crazy. For reference, Kyle Lowry is only at 23%. So he gets the ball a lot, and he is just still killing teams. His spin move is nuts. He can rebound. He can pass a little bit and playmake. Like, he's just super good.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I think the one thing, too, I like about this whole Raptors team is that they've got what? I think they've got six guys scoring double-figure points per game. I mean,
that's really? They do?
Oh, that is correct. Six, right? Yeah. From they do. OG all left there. But, I mean,
all their starters plus Norm. Minus Gasol, excuse me.
Yeah. I guess with Pascal, the thing was in the past, I think in the playoffs especially, he kind of – it wasn't bad in the playoffs, but he just wasn't as like good as he was in the rest. That kind of
– Kawhi just took over. They didn't need
him. Yeah. Well, people kind of like forgot about him later, overlooked him and whatnot. And he clearly is, you know – if you just took his body type and his progression, his second year stats, you say, "Oh, this guy's like on way to being Paul George, essentially." And that's basically what he's kind of becoming.
He's got a chance to be better than PG. He's not.
Oh, for sure. But that's kind of
I don't think he will, but he's got a chance.
Like, PG took that second year leap, and then you saw the third year, and so on, kept going. Right. That's kind of what Pascal is. Yeah, he's amazing. I mean,
many things to talk about with the Raptors, right? Like, we barely talked about OG. He's shooting well from three. He's an amazing defender. Lowry's an all-star, averaging 20 points a game, is an amazing player. Fred VanVleet, speaking of guys who were awesome in the playoffs, is shooting 40% from deep and scoring 18 points a game. Like, they just are loaded. They lost Kawhi, and they're still really good.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think I did it before, but the depth of this team is what's probably going to push them maybe be the second best team in the East this year.
Great shot at the two seed.
I really do wonder that if this team, because they won last year, feels like if they get to a series against the Bucks, somehow they can win because
of I'm not going to write them off against anyone in the playoffs. They're really good. And Nick Nurse has great coach of the year candidate this year. I mean, he's going to coach the All-Star team with Sabonis on it. That's kind of funny. I wonder if they'll talk before the game. But he's been fantastic. He's got their defenses rolling. To have a team that loses Kawhi on pace to potentially win more games than last year, he's just been – they've had such a great organizational run the last half decade.
What makes me sad is, like, I feel like they're what the Patriots wanted to be, right?
I
guess you make a comparison. They're like the Patriots in the late 90s, 2000s, right? Where, like, there was one window to win a championship, and they actually did it.
They're the Pacers with no brawl.
Well, I would say the Pacers, though, with no lockout, right? The lockout, you screwed the Pacers. They were the best team that year, actually.
That's true.
In 99, and then they got lost that stupid series to the Knicks. Ugh. I think the Bill Simmons podcast he did recently, where he went back and talked about that series. And the next
right,
year
and they got the break. They got the big injuries to the Warriors, and there's your title. Like, like if Shaq or Kobe is hurt, the Pacers probably have
it. Yeah, well, Kobe turned his ankle in that series. People forget that. And Jalen Rose says, oh, he thought he had been hurt for a while. He thought he would have won the series. So,
yeah.
RIP to Kobe, though.
Yes.
Only took us 40 minutes to get to it already.
I think the Raptors are going to win both games because they're so well coached. They have the star Pascal that, especially without Warren, who I can't believe I'm saying without T.J. Warren's defense, but without a bigger body to put on him, he's going to have an easy time scoring. They just have so many ways they can beat you, and Nurse is so good at figuring them out. He is willing to experiment with funky lineups literally game by game basis. So, I think the Raptors win both games. They're just really good. But it's important for tiebreaker, potentially, that the Pacers win one of these games.
I think it's hard to win back-to-back games against a team.
It is. It really is.
I mean, the Pacers did against the Timberwolves, but the Timberwolves suck. I mean, they've lost
They barely won that second one with Cat back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cut off here for a second, man. Blow my mind stat. Karl Anthony Towns has not played in a win since November 27th.
Yeah, no, I saw that on Twitter.
That's crazy. How can that be? How are the Timberwolves don't seem like they're that bad.
Just so people know, and we're not going to do this now, but I have been trying to figure out, Tony, how did the Pacers trade to Towns? Somebody needs to rescue that dude. That dude is
Adam wants Towns. I mean, if he becomes available, that'd be great. He's got 4 more years on his deal, but he's not seeming to be available now. But man, how is that possible?
At some point, Towns has got to say, you got to get me off this team. This is terrible. I'm one of the best 12 players in the league, and why am I on this team?
I know. They just switched regiments or front office regiments, excuse me, front office regime. So that's the wrong word. Hopefully they can figure that out. But that is a crazy stat. Sorry to defer from the Raptors. Yeah, I mean, is it lazy to say Pascal's my butcher? Because he is. He's super good. I mean, but Lowry does really well against the Pacers too. So
Lowry scored 30 last time these guys played.
Yeah, they could kill you anyway. And Van Vliet, I feel like, had a pretty good game last time too. You got that in front of you by chance? Or do you just remember?
Van Vliet had 21. Yeah, but Lowry had 30 points. I mean, he was like amazing in the third and fourth quarter particularly. Am I right? The Raptors scored 35 in the third, which is amazing. Yeah.
Lowry's so misunderstood, but he is super good.
Yes. The one thing I will say, and this may not be my X factor, but like the last time these two teams played, Aaron Holiday was the reason the Pacers won.
He won them the game. He was amazing.
And I wonder if there's – with the bench, let's say Warren doesn't play, which means Holiday is going to probably play minutes, especially if Warren's still out. There's an opportunity for Holiday to really kind of shine, at least.
They need the knock you can give to Lowry and Van Vliet for how good they are is they're not quick. So the speed of Holiday was great. He was able to get to whatever spot he wanted for shots. If McConnell or him, or if Warren's out, you know, both will play, probably can do that. Now you're talking. Maybe you can get some
points. Can I tell you something, though, I'm not looking forward to in this game?
Ooh. I don't know what it is. What is it?
The McConnell. If you're right, Justin Holiday starts, McConnell, Holiday, and Oladipo play minutes together. That feels like a recipe just to
that. That will be interesting.
Right. That's why I think Oladipo should start, to be honest. That is like my case in point.
I honestly think with all the rotation stuff they're working through, the only combo I think they should just try their best to scrap is McConnell, Oladipo. It's just bad.
It's miserable. Yeah. I mean, I think you get away with Aaron Holiday, Oladipo for sure. But
I agree. All right. Anyways. I think they lose both to the Raptors, although I think they have a much better shot Friday. Make some adjustments, come back home and get a win. But we'll see.
I think they split. I think
what a hot take for me to say they have a better chance at home, huh, guys?
I know. I think they split. probably win the home one just because I think the way that's been, but I think they split is my thought.
Yeah. Okay. Zion mania, folks. I mean, I don't want to talk about the Pelicans. I just want to talk about Zion.
I'm pumped to watch.
I'm so sad Vic's not going to play because I was so hyped for Vic versus him. But oh my gosh, like, I know I sound like the national media who, like, half these Twitter accounts just post Zion highlights and Zion, 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 Zion. But if you have the chance before this Pacers game to watch Zion before he comes to Indy, I beg you to do it because he is ridiculous. He's averaging 28 points and 11 rebounds per 36 minutes already. Shooting 62% from the field. He had a full court lob dunk today. Lonzo threw this insane pass. Like, he jumps so high. And all the stuff he does that, like, leads to these stats are just sick. And you just have to watch it. It's like the best spectacle in basketball right now. It's besides the Bucks. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm going to steal a stat from you. You told me the per 36 for Zion. I'm looking at them now. 27.6 points for going to be playing 36 minutes.
My God.
His shooting percentages are off the charts right now. I mean, obviously, they'll come back to earth eventually, but the guys
saying – I don't know if they will, dude.
taking 19 shots a game almost, or 18.4, and it's 62% on them.
I wish I remember who wrote it so I could suggest it to all of you. There was an article written about how many of his own misses he's getting the offensive rebound on, and it's like Moses Malone-esque. Like, he just, if he misses a layup, he just grabs it and scores.
Well, and the thing is, you put him with Ingram, with Jrue Holiday, and that's a big three that's going to be, I mean.
Right, they have the all-star with Ingram, who's been nuts this year. We'll talk about that.
And oh, I mean, that's your future. Him and Zion is like.
Drew's right on the fringe, and maybe you get younger stuff for him at some point. Jackson Hayes is good in their young core. Nickeil Alexander-Walker has not been shooting well this year, but he was awesome the preseason. Like, they have all these awesome pieces. They've done a really, they got lucky to get the Zion pick, but they've done a really good job getting the right stuff.
Yeah, and I think the thing with the Pelicans is it's just not getting like too ahead of themselves, right? It's letting the young guys develop, and then three or 4 years making the move for better, and not just doing this tomorrow. Because they're not going to win next year. Zion's going to need to be at least 22 before they can have a shot at winning. It's just the way it is in the NBA, right? If he is 65% on 13 shots per game, I mean, yes, of course. They're going to have a chance to win a ton of games. But
they are 13-6 since December 20th. The Pelicans are good. The Pelicans are actually
good. But they don't even get ahead of themselves yet. Let these guys develop.
But I will say, David Griffin is really smart, and I don't think he'll let it happen. He's a really good
I could see them deciding, hey, we can cash out Jrue for some younger players that fit better. But if Jrue is, you know, I mean, his peak value is probably right now, but also he can probably still be, he's could possibly be a good player in 2 or 3 years. And you might just rather have that around your team.
If you get the full season of Jrue next year, I think he still will have good value in the summer. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's probably right. He'll be on the other side of 30, and that's when it gets kind of dicey with guards, right? On the other side of 30 is like.
Yeah, we'll see.
You get a Mike Conley territory.
They're 20 and 29. Like, we're hyping up like their hot run, and they're really good. I don't want to belittle that. They beat the Pacers pretty handily earlier this year. It's just that was a back to back on the road. They're just a good team. They're hard to beat, and I think the Pacers are going to have troubles. Like, Ingram, as we can see this year, is awesome. Like, 25 points per game on pretty awesome shooting splits. Lonzo's still finding ways to carve up to you with his passing. They just have good skills from everybody at every spot.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And, you know, so Zion is now up. We played 33 minutes in the game today against the Rockets. Or Sunday is reporting this. So his minutes are up there, too, again. So,
what was his final stat line in that game?
21 points, 10 rebounds on 18 of 14. 8 of 14 shooting, sorry.
Well, that's like his worst shooting game of the season.
Yeah, he did take a three. He was 5-7 at the line. He had 5 offensive rebounds, though.
So if you'll recall, Adam, let's look back in time. When they played the first time, Brogdon was out. He did not play.
Yeah, that's right.
And Aaron actually did play pretty well, but not having that point of attack defense was killer. Like, Jrue did fantastic in that game. He had 20 points and 7 assists.
Of course, Jrue knew how to destroy his brother. Shocker.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So I think that as much as Zion's going to be – like, the Pacers have no matchup for him. He's going to be awesome, but –
Well, you have Sabonis on Zion, which is going to be really
good. They're going to try. The rebounding of Sabonis might help him with those Moses Malone-esque, like, jump up and grab it plays. But, it's going to be real tough to contain
him. Do you maybe put Turner on him just because that might be your best chance? Like, do you just do it? I don't know.
No, I'd want Turner rotating from the weak side. And
right, yeah, so, I guess you're right.
I think. But I think being able to contain Jrue a little better, like their third banana, will help a lot.
Yeah, I mean the back to back thing, right? And the back to back, and then no war on top of that makes me feel like they're not going to win this game.
Yeah, the Pels are good. I think this sounds really aggressive for a February week, but I think if they get more than one win this week, that's a massive success. They're playing good teams in a tough situation. Like, that's hard.
Yeah, they're not going 4-0 now that you said that. you realize that, right? They always find like a next gear when they have these couple weeks.
People keep poking fun at me because I'm wrong so much on Twitter. I would like you all to know, people, that me and Adam have both our preseason prediction was right 27 times up to this point in the season. So that's not too bad. It is not too bad. We're both over 500. Although we should track like as the season goes along our in season choices.
We have to start that earlier in the year. Maybe next year when we do this podcast, like, I know. Talk about that.
Zion's my butcher, by the way. Just he's going to do amazing.
Mine's Ingram.
Ingram's a great choice.
Game last time, right? He put up 24 last time.
I was going to say it over 20.
Yeah. Yeah. So
16 shots to do it too. Very easy.
I think Sabonis is my X factor, though.
He has to be good. He pretty much has to be good. They're not a very good defensive team as much as we're talking them up, right? They got younger guys who are trying to fit together. He's going to have to find a way to carve them up because
exactly. They
need to find a way to score. Aaron Holiday was good, 25 points.
Yep.
Because he found a way to carve this team up a little bit. So
yeah, some garbage time minutes too, let's be real.
He did score a lot when it did not matter in that game. Their fourth quarter was really good despite getting sunned the rest of the game.
Yes. Well, the Pacers scored 13 points in one quarter, which is a miserable quarter.
That was their worst quarter before last night.
Wow. Yes.
Brutal yes. Second half of that last game. Looking at yes. The lead tracker is like laughable.
Yes.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'm going 1-3, maybe 2-2 this week.
I think 2-2.
Yeah, they 2-2 would be very nice.
And they beat the Mavs, but Raps probably lose a back-to-back. But I could see them going 3-1 and beating the Pelicans on a Sunday on a back-to-back at home and something they find a next-level kind of gear. I could see that happen.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Or a Vic, again, 3-7. Give me a 3-7 game.
Yeah, something. We just need a Vic game to carry this week.
We really do. You got anything else today, Adam?
You know, no, I don't think I do. I guess I hope the Chiefs win. They don't look stupid tomorrow.
I do too. Don't forget, guys, if you want to have your business advertise on the show, text advertising to 33777 or go to lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. But yeah, I think it's going to be a fun week of Pacers basketball. Some fun opponents to watch, even without Luka. The Mavs are fun. And as they, you know, I enjoy watching them try to figure out how to integrate Victor Oladipo. It's gonna be cool.
Yes, I'm excited for this week. It's the first time they have Vic back, and they play some good teams.
Yeah, and I think this week it'll get announced if Dougie McBuckets is going 3-point shooting. So we'll see.
Yeah,
that's a shame that we don't know that yet. It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Got anything else today for me, Adam Friedman?
No, I'm good. As always, you can follow me at FreeBadM5 and the podcast at Locked On Pacers.
Yes, and I am at T East NBA if you want to hear me shout other stupid things. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today, and we will catch you tomorrow.